All right, good morning. We'll call to order the regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting for this Tuesday, May 23rd, 2017, and ask if everybody please join the board as we honor America with the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Well, thank you again and good morning. Absolutely full agenda for us today, so I will endeavor to keep us on task as much as possible. First item on our agenda, as always, is public comment number one. This is an opportunity for members of the public to address topics that are on today's agenda. If you want to make sure there's something we're aware of, anybody wishing to do so, come right on up. And seeing no one moving to the microphone, next item on our agenda, well-earned, really, really nice, but kind of a sad day for us here in Story County. Recognition of Craig Ferris for his 33 years of service. Unfortunately, what that means is Craig's leaving us, going on to probably bigger and better things. Craig is a man who has served Story County so well, showed up every day, worked really, really hard, and in his 33 years driving a truck, if I'm not mistaken, there were zero accidents, no infractions at least that I'm aware of, and has been a great servant to the people of Story County. Craig, we're going to miss you, and we really appreciate everything you've done. So, in appreciation for 33 years of service to Story County from October of 1983 through May of 2017, we thank Craig Ferris for his service to Story County. Thank you very much. Now we'll do a picture right here.
We're going to go right around here.
Right.
Okay.
You step right in here. Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to smile that
way. Oh, yeah.
We'll try to make it as painless as possible. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Really, really.
Is that the last time?
Yeah.
Last time to wear the orange?
Excuse me?
Last time to wear the orange?
I don't know. I got a supply. I might have that.
All right, next item is proclamation recognizing May 2017 as Mental Health Month. Carla, I don't know if you want to address anything. I'm going to read it and then let you speak to it, and then we'll take action. So, whereas mental health is essential to everyone's overall health and well-being, and whereas mental health illnesses are real and prevalent in our nation, and half of us will have a mental health diagnosis at some point in our lives, and whereas all Americans experience times of difficulty and stress in their lives and should feel comfortable in seeking help and support to manage these times, and whereas engaging in prevention, early identification, and early intervention are as effective ways to reduce the burden of mental illness as they are to reduce the burden of other chronic conditions, and whereas there is a strong body of research that identifies behavioral health risk and supports specific tools that all Americans can use to protect their health and well-being, and whereas with effective treatment, all individuals with mental illnesses, even serious mental illnesses, can make progress toward recovery and lead full, productive lives, and whereas jails and prisons have often become the default places of custodial care for even nonviolent people with serious mental illnesses, and whereas each business, school, government agency, healthcare provider, organization, and citizen has a responsibility to promote mental health and well-being for all. Therefore, I, Rick Sanders, do hereby proclaim May 2017 as Mental Health Month. As the chair of the Story County Board of Supervisors, I also call upon the citizens, government agencies, public and private institutions, businesses, and schools to recommit our community to increasing awareness and understanding of mental health, the steps our citizens can take to protect their mental health, and the need for appropriate and accessible services for all people with mental illnesses at all stages. Carl.
Thank you for reading the proclamation, Rick. That proclamation, the template was provided by Mental Health America, so I just wanted to let folks know that. As a region, we've been working hard to collaborate with lots of local agencies. And one thing that we're doing right now is planning a mental health expo that will be held in Story County on September 19th. We have a speaker coming in, Sarah Benincasa. She is a comedian and author, and we're looking forward to that event. So along with that event, there will be a lunch and learn that's going to be held on that day as well. We're partnering with Iowa State University and a lot of the local mental health agencies, outpatient providers, and NAMI.
Thanks, Carla.
Thank you.
Questions for Carla, comments on the proclamation, or a motion to approve?
I will so move to approve the proclamation.
Second that.
Further discussion? Olson.
Aye.
Chee.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. May 2017 is proclaimed Mental Health Month here in Story County. Thanks, Carla.
Thank you, Carla.
Next, in agency reports, first we've got Juvenile Court Services. Jerome Rubers is here to see us.
Good morning.
Jerome, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great. This is my first time. I'm excited. So I submitted a report last week, and I started my report off with the recent collaboration between the Story County Board, the Attorney's Office, and our office on a new truancy initiative brought up by the County Attorney. We've had 5 successful meetings. There's a 6th planned. We met with Mr. Sanders earlier. We had a barrier with transportation due to our budget, and he offered the use of county vehicles to attend these meetings from our office, and we appreciate that.
Yeah, and the only thing I'll say about that is it's Story County that offered those, and full history is JCS used to have their own vehicle, turned that back into the county. The county was funding and turned it back in, but one of the agreements that was made at that time is we would make sure that there was a vehicle available. This is a program. I appreciate the credit. This is a program that actually the Ames school system came forward with problems with truancy. There were several meetings, including Jessica Reynolds. She stepped up as county attorney and suggested that our county attorney's office could do more and could be more involved, with the idea of being we need to try to stop truancy before it becomes a problem rather than after. And I'm really, really happy that I work with the Board of Supervisors who really it has been supportive of the county utilizing our resources to help fill that. Laura, if you had something.
So this statement about transportation costs was restricted to the ride or the sharing of the vehicles, correct?
Sure.
Only for JCS to get back and forth these meetings. As we know, state budgets right now are really, really tight, and we did not want to see this this program get derailed based on somebody from JCS not being able to literally travel the 4 miles to a meeting.
Right. I got confused because I know we hadn't voted on anything. So
yes,
then where did that money go?
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you.
This was simply me reaffirming something that the board had already taken action on.
Okay.
For example, the first truancy meeting was held at an Ames Elementary,
mm-hmm.
and it was just a month or so ago, and the child had already missed 70-some days of school. I believe he was a third grader.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks. Yeah. Good.
I better go on to a little bit about our budget. We remain under a hiring freeze. We are down 1 JCO currently, and this will not change for the next fiscal year. Previous reports we've talked about our effective practice and community supervision, better known as EPICS. We continue striving with this. It reduces recidivism, and we're becoming more proficient. Our JCOs are, me included. And then we're also working with Deb Shilroth and other counties on billing from the Central Iowa Juvenile Detention Center.
Can you enlighten us on that? Because I've not been made aware of this by either Marty or Deb Shilroth. So can you explain, are they overbilling?
Well, we're not really sure. So some of the nearby counties, Boone and Webster, have received some different rates than the normal rate.
Okay.
And we're not really sure why. are how they came up with these, and this group here is kind of exploring those.
We had a situation 3 years ago or so, and this is from my time on the DCAP board, which Marty serves on our DCAP board now, where juvenile court was, CIJDC was providing rides, and we got into a situation where they were transporting two people at one time and billing for two separate rides. And so I just think it's in everybody's best interest, and Marty, I'll look to you, if we're really diligent on figuring out what's going on here.
We have had a breakout meeting with supervisor with Boone County and Hamilton County with Tony, and we are trying to plumb the depths. Not really anything to tell you, but it's a work in progress. The fact is, we know that there's an issue. It does not affect Story County. Boone is the entity right now that's suffering from the multi-tiered billing issue, and we just would like to think that there's some clarity there as to why, on rationalization, these determinations are made, and that's a conversation right now. And we had anything to offer, we give it to him. He's not as forthcoming as we might like, and clarity is not quite as much as we would have hoped.
Well, and I know you're on top of it, and I appreciate that you're representing us.
Well, if there's anything to tell you, I would, but once again, we have we asked for information. Dev, John Rush, we are doing this on a multi-county basis, and that's where we're at.
Thank you.
My report further goes into the budget for this fiscal year, and I think it pretty much just shows that we have the appropriate allocations and appropriate spending, and we're on track for the budget. I've included the judicial branch, which we are employed under, the budget for the previous year and then the upcoming fiscal year 18. We were operating under budget at approximately $5 million or $5.5 million for FY17. We will have a furlough day this Friday, the only one, hopefully, of the fiscal year. And our unknowns remain what's going to happen after July 1st. Some people predict possible layoffs in the juvenile court services, possible layoffs in the county clerk's office, and so forth. Currently, we don't have that many kids in the county out of the home. We have one child at the state training school, currently one child in the detention center, two children in shelter, six children in residential treatment or group care. We have three on enhanced supervision or GPS monitoring. We have one child in foster care and two children in PMIC facilities. I supplied an attachment concerning our budget from the state court administrator for the judicial branch. And then I attached some Rosedale shelter information and then some other documents provided by Youth and Shelter Services of Story County. Any questions?
Questions for Jerome.
I had one about the YSS information that was attached. And by the way, thank you for all of this information.
Sure.
I appreciate it. I did notice that therapy, whether it be family therapy or individual group, you know, all of those number of clients and units, or especially the units, seem to be down. Is this directly tied into you referring people to YSS, or should I go to YSS to ask that question?
Well, I think YSS might give you the same answer.
Okay.
But I don't want to speak for them. But we are not referring as many children to YSS, and that's been a trend for probably the last 18 months.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Say you're down at JCO. How does that affect you?
It affects the other three officers, the other two full-time and the other part-time officer, probably the most.
Mm-hmm.
Since I'm their supervisor, I still run a caseload. It's a smaller caseload, and they kind of fill in for the extra JCO that's not there.
What is their average caseload for the two full-timers right now?
In the low 20s.
And what's a reasonable, so you did this a long time before you became supervisor, what's a reasonable caseload where you can really give the attention you need to give?
Right around 20.
Okay. So when we get up into the 20s, we're starting to see less ability to really provide the intensive service that we need.
That is correct.
All right. Other questions? No. Jerome, you did a good job.
Thank you.
All right. Salvation Army now. We have Terry McFarland.
Morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. I submitted some information to you last week. The county provides funding for two services that we offer to the county. One is the emergency disaster services. The Salvation Army is actually known worldwide for providing this. We typically support the first responders, the firefighters, anyone on scene who will be on scene for a length of time. But of course, we stay late to help people with things like lodging and things like that. So what I'm happy to report is that we didn't have any weather-related disasters, so that's a good thing. We did have a gentleman, though, that lost his home, and so we did help him out. So I guess I call that a positive thing for our first few months into the fiscal year. I also wanted to mention that I'm a part of the Story County Disaster Coalition, and so I attend those meetings, and I'm a part of the group that plans for such events and will continue to do so. We are able to tap into our local Salvation Armies in Iowa to get canteens and other large mobile kitchens to come in the event of a disaster. So Melissa has my number, and so does Keith. The other program that we are receiving support for is the Bill Pair program. And that program is designed to help keep seniors in their homes longer by having volunteers go in and help them read mail, pay bills, manage their finances, do checkbooks and things like that. Right now, we're working with a very small number of people. I believe we're seeing three. I do have a few people that are waiting, but it always depends upon the volunteers that we have. So we work with the Volunteer Center and RSVP to find volunteers that pass our background checks that are willing to go into the homes of folks and help. I currently have a veteran that I'm trying to partner with another veteran who might be interested in doing this. So I'm working that angle as well. So, but we will continue to offer these programs. It's something that we're committed to. We offer other programs to the county as well. A food pantry, we help with emergency rent utility, lodging assistance, and we have a representative payee program. And I'd be happy to talk about that at another time if you have a large agenda. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
You have, you see it reported from time to time, especially on the holidays, on the volunteers for your kettles. And then you sit here in your report and say that your volunteer pool is virtually non-existent. Why? What have the society, or what is that, a local condition, or what is that?
Yeah, a lot of times people who volunteer for kettles do that as a one-time or a group event. But they're not necessarily people who want to make a commitment for a long-term volunteerism. So we see day of or group participation ones, but not necessarily long-term. But we're working on that. We've just been open 5 years, so we're still working on sort of building our pool of volunteers for everything that we do.
All right. Good luck there.
Yeah, thank you.
Carrie, since you guys opened an office in Ames, I've just been amazed at the amount of work that you guys have managed to get done, the services you provide. You guys stepped up after they closed workforce offices and offer a station, et cetera. So thank you.
Yes, we're happy to do it. 5 years last week, Monday, it went very fast. So.
Thank you so much. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you.
Next is American Red Cross Agency Report. Except we don't have anybody from American Red Cross here, so we won't take that report. Next is Overview of Minutes Procedure, Auditor Lucy Martin. Oh,
I thought that green was here to take a look. Fashionably late.
Fashionably late. Morning. Sorry, I had to go talk to Kevin for a minute, and I missed my...
So, a couple weeks ago, the board voted to amend minutes that were presented to us, and it brought into question exactly what the minutes are, who's responsible for putting them together, what the relevant code sections are, and how we ensure that our minutes are doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing. So Lucy's going to visit with us now about all those things.
Right. Thank you for having me. I thought I'd do a quick information session for you. On February 21st, Shelley and I did a presentation on the agenda center for staff that submits to the agenda. This is a natural progression of that. So just for your edification, the Code of Iowa being the Code of Iowa, there are several relevant sections. So I'm going to list the top five that I use. And everything I do is, you know, mandated by the code. And I have five major duties. Clerk of the Board of Supervisors is just one of them. So we always look to the code for guidance. But Chapter 331, County Home Rule, is one of them. 331.504 outlines the duties as clerk to the Board of Supervisors. 331.211 clarifies that while you may appoint a permanent clerk, which is Shelley Belisle, she still prepares everything and gives those to me, so that doesn't assign away my duties. Publication is also a big thing in the code. It was Chapter 349. So 349.16 lists what is published in the official newspapers, and 349.18 speaks to a one-week provision, which I'm going to talk about a little bit more. And then Chapter 21, Open Meetings, clarifies more the contents of the minutes, and that is, it's referred to a lot. I mean, this is well-worn territory for auditors and for boards. So I don't want to belabor anything. But 21.3 just clarifies that each governmental body shall keep minutes of all its meetings, showing the date, time, and place, the members present, action taken at each meeting. The minutes shall show the results of each vote taken and information sufficient to indicate the vote of each member present. So, and then I also was going to bring up this. There are several AG opinions about this. I brought up just one that I find the most relevant. There are some very interesting ones. It's sort of a what not to do list if you're ever bored and want to read AG opinions about minutes. But this one just clarifies that the role of clerk to the board is the auditor who maintains the official record. This officer should logically control the text and format of the publication of the proceedings in the same manner he or she controls the text and formats of the official minutes. It is the responsibility of the county auditor to determine the text and format of the matters required for publication. So, and that's AG opinion from 1982, which is after Chapter 331 was codified. It's opinion number 82-1-13. So just the context of where I'm operating from. The state auditors are really keen on the Code of Iowa, making sure that we're following that. We are as well. We do that on a weekly basis, but they always come in and check. So the fact that I'm bringing three sets of minutes to you today will be a nice long conversation that I have with the state auditors in July, because they're always checking to make sure that we hit that deadline, which is in 341.18. The county auditor shall furnish a copy of the proceedings to be published within 1 week following the adjournment of the board is what they like to visit with me about every year. So, which brings me to the our weekly process in the auditor's office, which is that Shelley, who is your designated permanent clerk, or Chris, who's her backup, or if either one of them is out, then it's me, we take the minutes. Then I finalize those minutes, make sure that everything, some of it is just formatting and for clarity, and some of it I listen to parts of the tape to make sure that we're getting the meat of the everything that's in there. Ideally, I finish that by close of business on Thursday, and that way The minutes can be put in the folder for your review for the next Tuesday's meeting. And then, if at all possible, we ask that any corrections, if we've made any mistakes, if we've flipped who made the motion, if that those are made prior to the meeting so that we can make those changes and put that in the folder for your consideration at the board. So another thing is that the county budgeted $32,000 a year in FY17 for publication. This is something that auditors have made a legislative objective for many years now. We haven't gotten any traction, but because we have to publish the minutes, we have to publish the full text of all resolutions and ordinances. We've asked for many years to get that so that we can publish summaries, but we've never gotten anything further than like out of committee, I think, on that issue. So that's something that auditors have been working on for many, many years, and we continue to make that a legislative objective for our affiliate. So that's all I have to say today about the minutes. Just a little history about the process and the mandates from the code about that.
Super. Thank you. Questions for Lucy?
I don't know that I have questions, but I certainly have comments. Okay. So my first one is that while you've read something saying that it should be your preview about how those minutes are worded, there are minutes. I mean, it's what we do here, and we're the ones who have to vote on them. So now here's my question, Lucy. What's the problem here that brought you here with this? I noticed there was a small change between the minutes we were asked that we amended on May 2nd and what is presented to us again today, apparently, to reapprove. And the only thing I can find in the change is under the where Supervisor Chitty reported on what his activities had been for the minute, for that time, that originally the minutes had said that he had attended an Ames Economic Development Commission meeting, where it had been a Nevada Economic Development Commission meeting. The other two changes that I requested that day were in fact added. So I'm a little unclear about where we even have a real disagreement about what would be changed in this.
Oh, I'm not saying we have a disagreement. I just want you to understand the process.
Okay.
And that ideally, if you have changes, that we'll make them before, like once we put that in the folder. And honestly, I try to get that in there Thursday afternoon when we have a big election. You might see double sets of minutes. So I'm trying to hit that weekly publication deadline because the state auditors always check that and always ask me about that. So that if there are problems with the minutes, if there's changes, if we did anything incorrectly, that we get those in before the meeting.
Well, when you go to publication on that?
Right after the meeting.
Okay.
Like you approve it, that we send those for publication.
All right. So you're saying that if a change or error is not noted until this meeting, that delays publication, is what you're saying?
Right. And then, yeah, for a whole week.
Okay.
Because then we have to put it out again. So.
Well, thank you. That's new information for me. And so what I'm hearing is a request that we try it at all possible if we're in the building sometime between Thursday afternoon and I guess Monday, right, to go ahead and get that change in before it even comes before us. I can certainly accommodate that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is something that, like with any process, it's good to revisit from time to time so everybody's on the same page.
Okay, so there's no request we're going to change how we do the minutes right now and what she does. She does a very good job of summarizing. So I certainly was hoping that we were not going to have a discussion today about going back to the state.
No, it was a discussion.
Which is
just information.
Okay,
all right,
super.
Well,
thank you.
That said, let me take a different tact because I would approach this. I mean, you spoke of what the requirements that you were going to. You had, what, five attorney general opinions that you?
No, five code sections.
Five code sections.
Actually more. I brought you the five, top five.
Okay. Five attorney general opinions that you referenced, and it's kind of a bare bones approach on what we need to publish then, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, what the code says and what some, you'll see some counties do, they will only publish, they'll say, like, this, after discussion, this is the motion, this is what was taken. That's up to the auditor to do that. I like to put a little more meat on that.
It clearly resides in your office,
skeleton,
I get that.
Yeah. But that's, you will see that from some counties, and I think a lot of them really struggle with the publication costs because they have to put the full text of the resolutions and the ordinances in there, and they're not like Story County. They don't have, you know, growth. They don't have a nice tax base to work from. They're really struggling, which is why this is an ongoing issue with us to get some summary language in the code about publication.
And I'm glad to hear that the state auditors as a collective would seek to do that, but you haven't been able to make that part of the law as of yet. $32,000 may, in the grand scheme of our budget, not seem like too much, but I would think that if we had any abilities to save any dollars, we should look to it.
Yeah, that was budget. I think we actually had submitted to 35. It's about informing the public, I think.
We're doing that right now.
Right, and
I think
if you look over time, our minutes are more summarized because we do have the audio that goes out on the website immediately after the meeting. We have the video now on YouTube. So
and we have
other options to inform people which the code, you know, being the code is still written, like, people can't come to public meetings because their horse and buggy might be in the shop.
Well, I like how Lucy phrased that because, I mean, literally,
the horse and buggy part,
our law is very antiquated. I mean, let's face it, we've created a legal notice to the public if we run downstairs and put a piece of paper up on a wall down there. I mean, you know, and that's not how any of us do business. I would hope that we would still be able to afford to publish the summaries that I think that Lucy's office is putting out. I think they're good summaries. And
I would ask, though, in light of the redundancies that we have here before us today, what are we served to spend the additional tax dollars?
The philosophy, kind of getting into this a little further, about why there are publications of record is based on the fact that first of all, there is a guaranteed place by the law that anyone can go and find out what's going on with government business, okay? And the reason that we have to publish in three newspapers is to guarantee that is widely distributed.
Well, I'm not saying not to publish. I'm just saying let to publish.
Oh, right, okay.
I mean, if you're sitting there, and I don't see where a narrative necessarily changes any of the outcomes. It's just like, and I think if somebody's looking to find out what in fact happened, we are obligated by code to do that. And
well,
any additional comes at expense to the taxpayers of Story County.
Here is something I'd like to propose. And actually, as I was thinking over this about where this conversation might head, is that right along with you about to take out some of the summary words in publication, would it be possible, Lucy, for in the minutes to have a notation about where approximately in the tape the discussion starts for the item, and then we could publish in the paper the actual, who was present, the vote, and then just in parentheses, tape 1503, start at 1503 on recorded tape. That would help citizens. My thing is that when you're a citizen and you want to know what happened at the meeting, you cannot rely upon Austin. No offense, Austin, okay? I hope you win the Nobel Prize or something next week, all right? But we can't rely upon the paid media out there. But I hear
what
you're saying.
You make the argument that we use the media that you say we can't rely on. How do I square that circle?
We can't rely upon it because at any given day of the week, we could have something that distracts or takes his attention elsewhere. As the Tribune has gone through many reporters over the years, since just the Register brought me up here in 2002, we have seen varying qualities of content that comes with the nature of the business. So when I say you can't rely upon your community newspaper anymore to produce everything that will be of interest to every citizen and get the information out there. I think, you know, one of our goals is with our communications plan is to see that we have factual kind of presented information that isn't subject to a particular reporter's style, use of words, not understanding correctly. I'd just like to know, Lucy, if it would be possible that if Marty wants to do away with the summaries in publication, if it would be possible at least to put in a little bit of an audio, a reference to where the public could go to the audio and hear that particular section. I think that would be good public service. Certainly save you words,
you're,
right?
Ultimately, Lucy, what happens is nested in your office and you make the determination. I just offer up the logic in that these dollars, I mean, just to dovetail on what Laura said, that it's not necessarily a perfect medium for the transmission of the work that we do here and the public's behalf.
Oh, what she puts out is the official. She's talking about our paid record, not regular.
I'm tethered here to the newspaper portion
of this.
It's the
same. What's in the minute book
okay, thank you.
Is
okay.
What is
so
published.
No,
and there's actually, there's agent opinions about that too. So
my only offering is the fact that maybe we are chasing an old medium. We have given ourselves, you said it yourself, it's an imperfect thing depending upon the person writing the article.
No, we're talking about two different things here.
No, all I'm just saying is the fact that by code we are only required to do so much. Anything above and beyond is what is done by the auditor's office, but it does come at a cost. To put it out there, getting to the point, you will move to an imperfect medium to convey our message when in fact we are doing a fine job of recording it right now.
Okay, the thing is, what we're talking about here, paying for the publication of the actual minutes, the imperfect medium I was referencing did have to do with the editorial staffs that run. I've been imperfect myself over the years. So we're talking about two different sections of the paper. Okay, so then my other argument would be in leaving in the summaries, or I guess, you know, maybe if even what is published, well, no, it'd have to be the same. I think the summaries serve the public well. And the publication in the newspaper that we pay for serves the public well. And you're talking about, from my perspective, okay, going to less transparency instead of more.
How is it less?
Because there are people who do still access the newspapers, because they are, by law, the source, the record. We cannot some days depend that the audio will hold.
Would you speak to the fact that Lucy and her organization is trying to change that law? And ask that it have
the, that's the summary of the resolutions, which
I'm
are
just
very
saying
lengthy,
that
not
there
the
are
summary of the minutes, which are just, which,
yes,
well, the only thing they are required to contain are the action of the board. So who made the motion, who seconded it, what the vote was, what the motion, how the motion was phrased. That is
sure,
what,
but okay,
that's
so
the only thing that's required. I'm not here to ask for direction on that.
No, there needs to be no direction because that's the purview of the county auditor. So I feel like I've been part of a very nice tennis match, and I appreciated it going back and forth. But let's just be clear on what we're talking about here. The minutes that come before us are at the purview of the county auditor. The control that the Board of Supervisors may or may not have on the minutes is what kind of money we allocate for publication purposes. Clearly, if we allocate less, the auditor would have to make a decision of does she use other dollars or does she reduce what she's putting in the paper. But it doesn't reside with this board to determine what kind of publication our auditor is going to do. That resides with the auditor. It's this board's responsibility to approve the minutes on a weekly basis, that they are accurate representations of what happened. This is not supposed to be a transcript. It's supposed to be an accurate representation of what's happened. I'm completely comfortable with the way our auditors run. I think it's a great suggestion, Lucy, if you want to look into, is there a way to tie where in the meeting these different items happened? That's great if it's feasibly doable, but it resides with you. So this conversation does not require any action at all. It's simply an update for Lucy so that we're aware of how all this works. The problem with May 2nd came in twofold. One, there was absolutely a direct error that noted something Marty had done that, in fact, he had not done, and so we got that corrected. And the second one was we tried to approve our own verbiage in the minutes, and it was accurate, but Lucy went back and cleaned it up, make sure it matched with what actually happened out here, which is exactly her responsibility. Lucy, anything to add to any of that? And then we're going to move on.
No, nothing to add to that. If I can talk for 1 second about the consent agenda.
Sure.
I would ask that you pull item number 8.
Yeah, well, I've got that circled. Okay. We're going to pull that in here and talk to us
about
that. Before we get there, we've still got to move on to consideration of minutes.
Okay.
All right, so what we're doing with consideration of minutes is we are reapproving what happened on May 2nd,
okay,
and then we're approving May 9th and May 16th.
Okay. I move for reconsideration of May 2nd's minutes and for consideration approval of May 9th and May 16th minutes.
I would second that.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion. Olson.
Aye.
Chee.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. 2nd, 9th, and 16th all pass. Personnel actions. Board, we've got one correction in what was in front of us. For Artis Baldwin, we had an incorrect amount. The amount was shown at $45.60, and it should be $33.60. Simply a Scribner's error. So note that correction. The rest of it is as listed.
Actually, I think we need a little more correction on that. After the slash, it's BW for biweekly, and I'm thinking she would be very bummed out with a $32 paycheck.
That's her longevity,
which
is included in her pay biweekly.
It actually is a biweekly amount, but instead of being $45 biweekly, it's $33 biweekly. Okay, so
move consideration of personnel items with the aforementioned change.
Second.
Got a motion and a second. Discussion. Chief.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Personnel actions passed. That's where it's supposed to go. Now we've got consent agenda, and we definitely want to pull item number 8, which is a fireworks approval. Is there anything else on the consent agenda that we need to pull?
No.
I would like to pull 3 and 9.
3 is consideration to use a county credit card for a budgeted domain certificate. And what was the other one for us?
Number 9, which is the request for repayment of a loan for Sean D.
All right, so we've got items 3, 8, and 9 that are pulled. Do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda with the noted items pulled?
I would move to approve the consent agenda pulling items 3, 8, and 9 for discussion.
I second.
Motion and a second. Chee.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. So now item 3 is consideration of request to use the Story County credit card for renewal of a budgeted maintenance domain certificate.
I don't see Barb Steinbeck here, but I do see, is Alyssa still in the back of the room? Well, my question, there's Alyssa, and or maybe Lisa Markley can answer this. There was no documentation attached to this indicating that the vendor had said they would not accept the purchase order, and it stuck out to me because this happens to be for the .gov URL, which they would probably accept purchase orders for. So I just wanted to clarify, this vendor will not accept the purchase order?
They won't, and I have an email, actually, and I'll talk to the IT director when they put that on there. That documentation didn't get attached, but I do have an email. They even, there was a couple different places that they talked. They won't take anything but a credit card, and I'm happy to print that email off and get it to the board.
Thank you. Okay, I'm done with that one.
Okay, make a motion.
I'll move that we approve item 3, use of the credit card for the domain.
Second.
Motion and second. Discussion. Olson.
Aye.
Chief.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. They're allowed to use the credit card for renewal of a domain certificate. Now we're to item 8, which is consideration of application for permit to display fireworks for Allen Docks. And we had a little change in state law.
Right. And I was so, there was a change in legislation about fireworks. And previous to the change, the county just used, the county can have an ordinance, but Story County just uses the code of Iowa. So once we had a change, I sent it over to Ethan. I know Jessica presented on this to you a couple of weeks ago. Ethan went over our application for permit. He made the required changes, and he actually sent me the whole code section. And so there were only minor changes to that. We got that posted out there, and then a gentleman came in with the application almost immediately, and he wants to do fireworks for Memorial Day weekend. And I was like, oh, that's fine here. Oh, we'll put it on next week's agenda. Then this morning I was just rereading the code, so I apologize. I should have caught this when the applicant was actually at my counter, but I didn't. New code section, a person shall not use or explode consumer fireworks on days other than June 1st through July 8th and December 10th through January 3rd of each year, all dates inclusive. So his application is actually for May 29th, a rain date of May 30th. It's outside what the code says. And so I apologize for not catching that sooner. I just realized that this morning.
Questions?
Just on process. Chris, did we just move to pull these items from consent, or did we move to approve with the exception of the three we pulled? In other words, did we just approve this?
No.
No.
Okay. No, you pulled 3A.
Yeah. Thank you.
We've got to deal with them individually.
Right.
So,
because he wants to do display this weekend.
You said June 1.
Right, and the time says June 1 through July 8th, which is 4th of July, basically, and then December 10th through January 3rd, so if people want to do the New Year's fireworks.
Another question I have, now this one related to the operator. This is a professional someone who regularly shoots off fireworks, correct?
Right, and that didn't change in the code. It still requires a competent operator and a proof of insurance. And this is somebody who does this all the time. So
this is one that we would approve in years past.
Right, but now we have the time. Yeah.
Right.
So that was just an addition that I was not prepared to review.
All right. You have another question before we...
I'm just clarifying in my mind, and I will try to move forward, is that the code has inadvertently possibly said that commercial firework displays are no longer legal except for these dates. Is that what we're really at here?
It added these limitations which didn't exist in the code
section okay.
before.
All right.
Yeah.
I just wanted to clarify that. There.
They also added time frames as well.
Unintended
consequences. Or intended, we don't know. We know that it is what it is. All right, so we're going to try to do this in the affirmative. So let me just talk us through this. We're going to take a motion to approve the permit, hopefully get a second. Then we will, if we have discussion, we'll discuss. And then if you want to deny the permit, your vote would be no. Okay. Am I clear on that?
Got it.
So do I have a motion?
I move that we approve the permit.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. The only note I'm going to make is state law says we cannot approve this permit. Further discussion?
None.
Okay. Olson?
No.
Chi?
No.
And I'm a no, so 3-0 no. Lucy, will you contact him or do you need us to?
No, I do it. I'll try that.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Final one that we pulled for consideration from the consent agenda is waiving the employment agreement reimbursement between Story County and Seth Bean in the amount of $6,207.81. Barry, thanks for joining us today.
Glad to be here.
So the sheriff sent us a nice letter yesterday on this. You want to just talk us through it?
Yeah, so with all new deputies that we hire on, we have a four-year contract we sign with them that basically says that if you leave employment with us within that four-year window, you will pay back a certain amount. The idea behind the contract is we want to make sure that the training and equipment that we give the individuals benefit the citizens of Story County. Seth Bean's an individual whose dream has always been to work with the Iowa State Patrol. Opening came up. He pursued that. He has not been with us the 4 years. However, he's going to be stationed in Hamilton County, which means that he is also going to be in Story County providing services as well. So it's our feeling at the sheriff's office that we don't want to hang this extra burden around his neck of paying that money back when we know he's still going to be using the skills to help us here in Story County.
Questions for Barry?
What would you have said had he been moved to another part of the state of Iowa that he would have had no exposure in Story County?
Yeah, I think that would change our position on that because we see it as a direct benefit still to citizens of Story County. in this event. So I can't speak for sure because we have to take every one of these situations on their face value and talk them through. But most likely, I think our stance would be different.
What happens if he gets reassigned a month afterwards?
Yeah, well, initially he'll be in Hamilton County, and so we know that at least for a while he's going to be providing services. And really, honestly, we're training police officers to better communities anywhere that they're at. We truly feel that.
It's likely I may have a little more experience with this after 20 years in journalism in three different states covering police departments and sheriffs, and this is a very common contractual kind of situation when someone is hired because of the cost to put them through the academy and the cost of training. And when I looked at this, I said, okay, your reasoning here, what if he had cancer and couldn't work anymore? Okay, would that reasoning be that we would still make him pay $62,000? What if he moved?
$6,200,
sorry. Yeah, now he just had a heart attack when he listens to the tape. Okay. And I know the reason is always so that people don't come to work for smaller entities, have them pay for this without getting the actual amount of training out of it. And so the fact that he came saying that his goal was to work for the Iowa State Patrol, and then that opportunity came up prior to him paying that entire training amount, I don't see where there's a justification for that, as opposed to a real special circumstance. He knew what he was signing, right? And as I said, because I have seen this contract, this is very common in law enforcement. It caused me pause. The other question I have is how it ended, just a process question about on the consent agenda rather than a separate topic, since we pulled it anyway and we were talking about waiving part of a loan that normally I would hope would not go on the consent agenda, but that maybe that was just how it was entered in. So back to the main issue here. I don't feel that we should make a practice of this, that every time someone who wants to eventually work in some other division of law enforcement use us as a training center. Okay? How often does this come up?
Very rarely. We, one of the things, and I think it's because we run a good shop, we're a destination job for the most part. So we do not deal with this very often whatsoever. And so, you know, we put it on you guys as a board to make a decision on what you think is best with this. We give a recommendation, and that's all we can do at this point in time. And because we do feel like he's still going to be benefiting the citizens of Story County with where he's stationed, we're comfortable with coming to you with that recommendation. If somebody had cancer, we'd be sitting in front of you asking the same thing because we would feel like it was the right thing to do.
I agree. See, that's, yeah. Okay.
And so we would just put it, you know, it's your guys' decision on what you want to do, but our recommendation would be, because we do feel like he's still going to be providing services to the citizens of Story County, mm-hmm. that it was still a good investment. And it's not really a loan. It's not money that we loaned to him that he would pay back. It is training that we gave him. It is equipment that we gave him over the course of time. Those are the things that are factored into what the charges are.
Is he taking his equipment with him?
He will not.
Further to the discussion. Marty, any questions?
Nope, I asked mine.
Okay. Yeah, so I think in my time, this would be the third one of these that we've handled. It is rare that we have one of these. I tend to think that it's in place to make sure that Story County citizens are reaping the benefit of the dollars we invest in our officers. And if we get an officer that comes in and decides that law enforcement is not for them and they're getting out of it, I would want them to pay it back. If they decide that they're absolutely leaving where there's no benefit to the people of Story County, I would want to pay it back. It feels like we had one that we terminated because it just wasn't a good fit, and we did not want to burden that person with this loan, and so we waived it in that case. I feel pretty strongly that the appropriate thing to do here is waive it. It's going to be interesting to see where we end up. Further discussion, further questions for Barry. Barry, anything else you want to add?
No, sir.
Okay. I would take, we're going to, again, do it in the affirmative, so I take a motion to approve the waiver.
So I would so move.
You willing to second?
I would, not without an amendment on it. But the motion as stands, no, I'm not.
Yeah, so I'll second it. So we have a motion on the floor. Discussion. Horace, tell us what your amendment would be.
I would like to put in that we waive the reimbursement at the end of him being 1 year with the Iowa State Patrol stationed within a service area of Story County. Because then that meets the reason why you want to waive it.
Yeah, and so I would not support that amendment because now we're taking somebody who is currently an employee of Story County and trying to put some kind of burden on them as they go elsewhere. So I'm just not real supportive of that.
I understand you're not supportive of that.
No, I don't know how you earn another contract with somebody else's employee is what you're proposing.
Just saying that we just don't try to collect on it for a year, and if at the end of the year he's still in the Iowa State Patrol and serving a geographic area where he'd likely to be dispatched here at some point, we just don't send him a letter saying, hi, you owe us money.
I have comfort in Captain Thomas telling us that if the circumstances were different, they would take the uncomfortable path of seeking reimbursement. So I think we're already there.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is, first of all, you didn't formally offer the amendment. I'm hearing that there's not a whole lot of appetite from this side of the table to take the amendment. So we've got a motion on the floor in front of us to approve the request for the waiver. Is there further discussion on that?
No.
Okay, Sheedy.
Aye.
Sanders, aye. Olson.
No.
Okay, so it passes 2-1. We wish Seth, please pass on to Seth. We wish him the best. Are excited about his future and appreciate his service to Story County and continued service to Story County.
Thank you.
All right. All right, and that gets us through consent agenda. We don't have any public hearing items today. Additional items, discussion, consideration of Resolution 17-101, an appropriations amendment. Markley wants to spend some money.
I told you I was coming back.
We knew it.
Right? So you amended the budget 2 weeks ago. So I have a resolution in front of you to appropriate those dollars plus some additional dollars for your information. The Board of Supervisors amendment is 28,842. That brings it up to 100% appropriation. Auditor, 29,784. That's 100%. Treasurer, 17,082. That's 100%. Attorney, 168,832, that's 100%. Sheriff, 533,86, that is not 100%. I excluded the 90,500 that was amended, but not.
Did the sheriff indicate he did not need because those units were not available
right
this fiscal year?
Yeah.
Recorder, I lowered by 19,580, now she's 100%. And then the rest of them are at 100% salary.
Right.
And about 3-4%, depending on the department, 3-4% left in there to appropriate if necessary before the end of the fiscal year.
But you feel like this gets us where we need to be?
I think this will get us where we need to go.
Okay.
General county betterment and countywide is at 100% also.
Nothing over 100% on here, or is there something over 100% on here?
Can't appropriate over 100% of budgeted dollars.
There we go.
At least.
I have a question about conservation, IRVM, and the recorder showing at negative.
Sure.
Can you walk me through that?
Sure. So we appropriated dollars at the beginning of the year, what we budgeted. When I brought the amendment to you in 2 weeks ago, we were lowering some of those because either they weren't going to spend, they didn't need the recorder, for instance. We had budgeted for another deputy in that office, and it didn't get filled, and she's not planning on filling it, so I'm lowering what she needed for salaries, basically. Conservation and IRBM, these are requests from them to lower their budget and their appropriation, obviously, because they aren't going to do the... They're going to spend as much on some of the projects that they planned on spending.
Got it. So the money wasn't really moved yet. It's the paper showing the lowering, correct?
The money was not. No, we had amended the budget down, and now we're also amending the appropriation down because.
Right, but the money was available for them to spend. They're
the
not going to spend it, so now it's not available for them to spend.
Super. Thank you. Okay.
Any other questions? If not, I'd take a motion to approve Resolution 17-101.
I would move approval of Amendment 17-101 as presented.
I will second.
Got a motion, second. Further discussion? Keating.
Aye.
Holson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Resolution 17-101 passes. Thank you, Barclay. Next item is consideration of revisions to the Story County credit card policy after much more than 7-day review.
Right. So we actually had 14-day review because you had a limited agenda last week. Everybody has the most recent copy. It has a little note at the bottom. Strikeouts in yellow show the added and deleted language. For this review period, the only comments came from my office, from Lisa, which I also heartily endorse. The more specific a policy is, the more effective it is and the easier it is to enforce. As the gatekeepers, we are really interested in what the gate looks like and how big it is. So, and that was a comment on the you striking the language about software and software license purchases. So,
right, which effectively what that does is it gives this board the ability to consider things outside of software. Doesn't mean we're going to approve. It just gives us the ability to consider them.
So that was the only comments I received.
Yep, good. Questions?
Now we look at this enough. I like the language. I think it speaks to the issues that we've had. I think it corrects what the problems that we have found, and I think going forward it cleans up the process. This is what we should do.
Is that a motion?
This is good housekeeping, and I make that as a motion.
All right.
Aye, second.
Motion and a second. Further discussion? Cheney.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. It is adopted.
Okay.
Thank you. Hey, we're on to page 5, rate of progress. Discussion and consideration of Team Story funding request in the amount of $500 and a request to block off the south parking lot on June 21st, 2017. Team Story, the newly created Team Story.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Cassandra Ames, and I am the team leader for Team Story. And we are here, like you said, requesting our first event for Team Story is Food Fest, which will be held June 21st. And we would love to be able to block it off in order to not have any issues with cars coming in the morning and figuring out who needs to leave, just to have that space for the entire day so that the food trucks can come in and we can arrange chairs and tables and all that stuff. And then the other item would be if we could obtain $500 in order to also have an ice cream truck that day. I think will be an awesome addition for Food Fest. Who doesn't love ice cream? So, I did in that document state that it would be about 125 scoops, $4 per scoop, and it would be coming from Sweet Treats from Jewel, Iowa. And what else?
The bonus part of that is if you guys fund that $500, any ice cream that is left over actually becomes your ice cream.
Don't we have a $3 limit?
We thought it would be a good thing for you guys to have because you've been doing lots of the recognitions within the offices and of employees, and it could be a good event for you guys to have in the future if there is ice cream left over, I should say. So
I tend to think we'll go through 125 scoops just between me and Mark. All right, so the issue we got, let's talk these through. We'll act on this in one motion, but let's talk this through. So the issue with the south parking lot, it is simply a Cal and facilities thing. We have, in fact, blocked off parking lots before. I think it's a reasonable request. It makes a lot more sense, I believe, than having to try to rearrange cars during the day. Anybody feel differently than that on that one?
No, Bree actually brought this to me early on when you both were gone, and we went outside and looked, and it's just a pretty straightforward contiguous lot that we have the ability to park there and just access it from walking across the street. I would say that I don't see a downside here other than look both ways.
Okay. The $500, we actually have some money left in the budget from some of the employee recognition things that we were doing that we could do this. But there is a little problematic with trying to show the public benefit here, and so we're going to have to be really careful. If we board has the ability to decide to spend this $500, we would just need to then work with Alyssa and Lisa to come up with an appropriate rationale, because the auditor, state auditor, is going to question this. We need to come up with the appropriate rationale for why we're spending $500. The other option, if this board chose not to fund the $500 but wanted to do this, is that the three of us could just personally come up with the $500. And I'm open to either. I think it's important that we're part of this. The board was, I think, really instrumental at helping to get Team Story created. This first event, I think it's appropriate that the Board of Supervisors, either formally or individually, privately, that we fund something like an ice cream truck. That's my feeling on it. I'd be willing to hear anything you guys have to say about it.
At that point, we're right now, I'll write a check if, just to not have the auditor. You have to go through a flagging issue that I had struggled to get to the point where I see the public good here. And the thing is, if I think this is such a wonderful idea, well, should he take it the next step, pay for it?
I'm right there. I'll be happy to write the check and do that, because, yeah, it's hard to justify ice cream. Yeah. Even though it's hot, unless the air conditioning goes out that day. I don't know. Maybe the air conditioning might go out. But, yeah, I'm good with the three of us splitting the cost of that, so we don't end up with the issues about public good.
Okay, good. I'm great with that. So that's 100.
Do you want our checks now while we're still in the mood?
So that'll be $166 from each of us. Let me know who to call. I'll just put it on my personal credit card, and I'll let these two pay me back.
Wonderful.
So we're not making a motion on the $500. We're simply making a motion on the closure of the South parking lot.
Well, I move consideration of the Team Stories funding requests and the closure of the South parking lot on June 21st.
Yeah, not their funding request, just the closure of the parking lot.
No, not the funding. I didn't say I dropped the $500 just to close off the parking lot on June 21st. Where they're meant.
I second.
All right, we got a motion and a second for the closure of the parking lot only for the entire day. Further discussion on that? Chitty?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. And we'll personally take care of the $500. So, brief, you just give me the information of who I need to pay off at.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And that's June
21st. Absolutely. I'm coming and having ice cream, I'll tell you that.
You do get to take it after that point. Yeah,
we'll leave it here.
No.
You can take some home if you want.
No, I'm not a big ice cream.